Congressman John Lewis is going to give the keynote address, and the event is sold out. But that's not the only appearance he's making at the festival, is it?
He's also appearing Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock at the AJC tent at Claremont and Ponce de Leon on the square in Decatur.
And he'll be signing copies of his
graphic story, March, which is the first of three books in a series detailing Congressman Lewis's life and his effect on the civil rights movement.
And the festival coming as it does just a couple days after the anniversary of the March on Washington, you've got a lot of events that sort of dovetail with that. Martin mm-hmm. Luther King III is going to be at the festival this year too.
Yes, he'll be here on Sunday afternoon signing his brand new children's book, My Daddy, Dr. Martin Luther King.
The AJC Decatur Book Festival has always done a great job embracing the diversity of the Metro Atlanta community. And the LGBT track this year has been expanded. So what new events have you got planned for this year's festival?
Well, we've got a lot of great stuff on the LGBT track. We have, first of all, we have Richard Blanco, who was the poet who read at Barack Obama's second inauguration. He read the poem One Today. He is a Cuban immigrant to the United States, so his work reaches out to immigrants. It reaches out to everybody who may have felt disenfranchised, and he'll be reading twice at the festival, Saturday to read One Today and read excerpts from his upcoming memoir, and also on Sunday as a group talking about poetry in public life. We've also got a fantastic author, Manil Suri. He's an Indian-American mathematician who'll be reading from his – it's actually the paperback launch for his wonderful book, City of Devi, which is a great story about an apocalyptic moment in Mumbai. We've got – one of the highlights is Alicia Abbott, who has a great memoir about growing up in the 70s. She was born in Atlanta. Her father – Steve Abbott was the head of the student union at Emory, and after her mother was tragically killed, they moved out to San Francisco, and so it's a incredible memoir about growing up as a child of a gay parent in the 70s.
Lots of activities for kids and teens. You've got two parades, mm-hmm. and Jabba the Hutt is making an appearance. I want to know, what's his talent fee anyway?
Well, it's all I can tell you that if you don't pay his talent fee, you're going to end up in carbonite.
Okay. And the Wimpy Kid van. Who is Wimpy Kid?
Well, Wimpy Kid is not an every man, but an every kid, essentially. And he's a he's kind of, you know, Jeff Kinney has done this great job of bringing this this character to life, and he speaks to so many, you know, that kind of odd feeling of late elementary school, middle school, just being in the wrong awkward place, and they're saying the wrong awkward thing all the time, and it's a marvelous character. It's got, you know, of course, there's a movie that came out just recently on it, and the new title is being announced, and this is so this book is coming, or the van is coming, and talking about the new title, which I can't really say and all that, but it's it should be a really wonderful event.
And let's drop a few more names. I mean, this is all about dropping names.
Yeah. It is indeed. And we have some incredible names this year.
Kathy Reichs is back.
She is indeed.
Robert Olin Butler's back. Mm-hmm. Keyboardist Chuck Lavelle. But he's not playing music, is he?
We might have a little surprise there for you. It's a few days out. But he's here to speak about his new, his environmental book, Growing for a Better America. And he's such a fantastic presence, having played for the Allman Brothers, playing for the Rolling Stones, playing for Sea Level. So it'll be really great to see him in this venue talking about not just his life, but his work for environmentalism.
Yeah. It is. I have to add, it's a very odd experience when I never expected to be dealing with him in my life to be trying to work out whether we can book him or not based on whether the Stones are still touring Europe at the time. you're competing with Mick says this or, you know, all right, okay, we'll take it.
Life has its challenges.
Indeed.
Richard Bresser from ABC News. What's his role in the festival?
Well, Richard Bresser was the head of the CDC, and he's now the chief medical correspondent for ABC News, and he has a brand new book out called Tell Me the Truth, Doctor. And it is about how to really work with your doctor to find out the truth about how to deal with any medical situation.
Cooks, cookbooks, cooking demonstrations. I see the Mayfields are going to be there talking about the paleo diet. On the other end of the dietary spectrum, Natalie Dupree is going to be there.
Absolutely. Natalie Dupree is going to be at the festival with Cynthia Grobbert, and they're going to be talking and doing demonstrations from their cookbook that just won a James Beard Award. And also Cynthia will be talking about her brand new Slow Cooking for Two.
Mastering the Art of Southern Cooking is the Natalie Dupree book.
Yeah, it is a spectacular book. It's a tome, you know. And Natalie had been working on getting this book done for nearly a decade. And Cynthia came in, I think, about halfway through that process and really pushed it through. But it is really a definitive piece of work on Southern cooking, and that it's encyclopedic and in its scope. And it's a gorgeous book. Physically, and the photography is fantastic, and it's a really great culmination of a fantastic career, two careers.
Over 300 writers on the schedule. How do you guys decide whom to invite? I mean, everybody on staff come with a list of, well, here's who I want to invite? Is that how it works?
Well, and Philip can talk about this, but we have a really great programming committee that works with the programming team, and folks from, you know, folks from the AJC and folks from booksellers and just book enthusiasts that we've been dealing with for years. People in the business. It's I'm always kind of amazed. I look at that room and see, you know, you can get a lot done in that room in the book business. Just everybody you kind of want to be able to talk to is all there at one time. And they bring different types of expertise, and it really melds together well.
It does indeed. There's so many ways that we go deciding what books are going to be featured and what authors are going to be featured at each year's festival. And some of it is people coming to us, authors, publicists, talking about their new work and showing us how it will fit in with the festival. And a lot of it is us going out, working with the publishers in New York, finding out everything that's out there, and working with that programming committee, which we can bounce off ideas, and they come up with their own ideas, and we all work our contacts. But the festival has such a strong relationship with the publishers in New York and around the country and around the world. And it's amazing that in our short 8-year lifespan that we've become such a force in being able to get the authors that we would like to come to the festival actually come to the festival. And we look at finding something that is good for everybody, something across the spectrum of what is published and what is coming out to get a good mix for everybody at the festival.
All that, I do just have to throw in all that to say that, you know, Philip brings a particular vision to, as a leader of the programming group and as a director in general. Certainly there's a lot of Philip in the choices that have been made.
Beyond the books, a number of performances, dance, theater, and the Atlanta Opera?
We've added this whole new component to the festival we're calling Art DBF. And to me, it's a kind of the culmination of a lot of things that have been happening over the years with the festival. We've had everything from the Atlanta Opera has been part of the festival in the past, as has Theatrical Outfit and the Center for Puppetry Arts and Georgia Shakespeare. These have all been kind of stalwart partners for us. This year, however, we've always been looking for ways to expand that presence. And this year we hit upon the idea of just creating a whole separate event within the book festival called Art DBF, and it's got it's got like five major components to it, and including performances on main stages throughout the weekend, and kind of pop-up performances on the square. We've got exhibits. We've commissioned some artwork. We've got a major projection piece that we're putting up in conjunction with Flux Projects on Saturday night as part of RTBF After Dark. So there's a whole new facet to the festival, and I think it's going to grow in very interesting ways in years to come.
And you've added three more stages.
We've added three more stages this year. We're back in the Decatur High School, and we are also in the newly renovated Decatur Recreation Center, where we have a very large stage that's the gym, and we have the beautiful studio space, which is very light, very intimate, and it gives us a total of 18 stages on the campus of the Decatur Square.
8 years on, you're still in growth mode. Is there a size limit, I guess I should say? I mean, you talk about the new stages and everything. I would think if I'm a homeowner in Decatur and I live near the square, pretty soon my house is going to be claimed for eminent domain.
do you know of one that would work?
I'm not going to say it.
The great thing about the festival is that we have amazing support from throughout the community. So if you live in Decatur, you're really, really lucky to be close to the festival. And we work very closely with the community in Decatur, with the city, to make sure it's an excellent festival. We love the growth this year. We love that we have the RTBF. We've got three new stages. We have more tracks. We're expanding this year. We certainly can't expand at this mode every year, but the growth of the festival has been pretty amazing. To start in 2006 with about 35,000, 40,000 people, and we were up to 75,000 people last year. This year, we think we're going to be a good bit bigger than that.
I think a sure sign of success and prestige of the AJC Decatur Book Festival is the number of new book launches that you've got going on. Yeah. How many have you got this week? I mean, and people are like, this is where I want to show my stuff to the world.
We've got almost 50 books that are launching this week and coming to the festival. And it really is wonderful to be able to bring brand new work to our patrons and be a place where people know that this is the place that they're going to see the major late summer launches and some early fall launches and get a chance to be the first to hear these authors present their work.
Do you feel the need to reinvent the festival in a certain way each year? You talk about you have some activities that, you know, are traditional, go from year to year. And you've had stuff in the past that, you know, lasted maybe one festival, and it'll end up in a history book, I guess, sometime. But you know what I'm saying. Do you feel the pressure like, oh, what are we going to do new this year? Do you feel the need to do something new just for the sake of being new?
I don't think there's a sense of, oh, you know, what are we going to do to change this year? But I think you know, when we talk about the festival, I know when I'm in the months afterwards, I'm always thinking about ways that we can, things I wish we had been able to do and hadn't been able to do in the past. My business card says, words, music, and harebrained schemes. And I take a lot of pride in kind of just thinking through possibilities. And sometimes things work, sometimes they don't. I think that our attendees really love having something new and engaging at the festival every year. I don't want to be, in a few years for people to be shy. Oh, the book festival, it's really great, but I've seen all those folks. I don't need to go this year. I was there last year. So I think we're far from a mature organization. It was Lou Holtz. I've been quoting this lately a lot. There's Lou Holtz, the college football coach. It says if you're talking about what you did yesterday, then you haven't done anything today. I think the festival will continue to embrace that idea.
One of the things that I think really drives where we go is relevance. And what you're going to find each year is that we work to bring a group of authors and books that are relevant for today's time. And with this festival, you're going to see that more than ever, where we have John Lewis and his co-authors presenting their brand new book, March, 2 days after the 50th anniversary of the historic 1963 March on Washington. We have Randall Kennedy bringing his brand new book called For Discrimination, and it is about affirmative action. We have Linda Hirschman talking about her book Victory, and it's about the triumphant struggle for gay and lesbian rights. So if nothing else, this festival is relevant. And I think that's one of the things that we're going to really strive to do over the years is make sure that whatever changes we go through, whether we grow, whether we increase the arts, whether we bring new things, and that the festival is relevant and something that people look forward to.
Admission is free for virtually all of it, right?
Yes.
Best way to get information?
DecaturBookFestival.com. There's also this past Sunday, the AJC had our 32-page insert and a special section on ArtDBF. So if you have that the paper around, make sure you check that out. And those materials are available at your local libraries. Gwinnett County, Fulton, and DeKalb will have it. A bunch of your local bookstores as well.
And we're also on Facebook Decatur Book Festival, and on Twitter at D-Book Festival.
Philip Rafshoon and Darren Wong with the AJC Decatur Book Festival, the 8th annual. Guys, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.